I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
And then disappeared. And then forever we're thinking, what did Wonga see that made him react that way? It's like that Radiohead video. Just? Is it just? When all the people are lying down in the street?
Oh, yeah.
And you just don't know why. Why are they all just lying down in the street? It's an amazing video. Is it just? I think it's just.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. That's kind of what we just saw Wonga do, and then just disappeared. But here he's back. Okay, thank God. You okay, Wonga?
Yeah. The drywaller rang the doorbell at the exact same time.
Oh.
So is that a metaphor for something?
Pardon me?
Is that a metaphor for something?
Sounds like the beginning of an adult film.
That drywaller's here.
Livery,
not going to stay dry for long.
Come on.
Yeah. Moist.
What did I miss? Sorry, I apologize.
Nothing. Nothing. Okay. We've just literally started now. And I guess we should start. Lots to get to, as is usually the case. But very, very busy day today. Busy day yesterday, but a big day today with a ton more podcasts dropping. Our MLS contingent of podcasts are dropping as we speak, I guess, right, fellas? We have our MLS Box to Box with Paul Dolan. We have our three questions with Montreal, with TFC, and with Vancouver. So four podcasts dropping today. Broadcast dropped yesterday, and we can announce it now officially, right?
Yeah,
live now is our new website. We are footyprime.com. We are footyprime.com. Be patient. We're going to populate it in the coming days, weeks, months, and years with more content. But we're just going to get it up there. Take a look. Why are you laughing, Dubs?
Get it up there. She's consistent, if not funny.
Because you're talking about moist drywall, and I'm getting into trouble for saying get it up.
But yeah, we're actually quite excited about it, I think, aren't we? We'll be sticking a ton of content on that, hopefully every day. Everyone will contribute. Right now, there are three blog posts up there by Wonga, Dubs, and myself. And we'll be adding a lot more. There's a little archive for recent podcasts. We'll be adding to that again as we find time to do such things. More video content on there. There's a supporters page where we're going to put a lot of the wonderful artwork in particular that our supporters club render for us, as well as information how you can join the supporters club. What else we got there? Oh, swag. We're going to be selling swag very soon. What else is on there, Wonga?
The big one for us too, and it's about reach and helping us grow, is sign up for our soon to have newsletter. We love to get all your, we want to create kind of a service that updates you every week on not only what we're doing, but what the biggest stories are in football in North America and in Europe and across the international boundaries that not only affect and kind of move the conversation, but once again, creating more community and touch points for not only Footy Prime, but football fans in general.
How was that?
Very well said.
It was really good.
Yeah. Was actually nice.
It was you're like the UN of football.
Oh, geez, I know. I was trying to be fully diplomatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. My brother speaks at the UN every once in a while for Canada.
Does he wear $2 specs?
Actually, my family are thrifty, is what I, so I wouldn't put it past them.
Does he make horribly inappropriate comments mid-speech?
No, he doesn't. He's actually very professional, you know, and I think he's well-liked. It seems like he has a group of people who enjoy his company, and I said he's going there. He was just there in February, and he's going again in July. And they put him up at nice hotels. So I'm going, hey, I think I'm going to go visit you in New York. And he's there for 2 weeks at a time. So
is he going to propose a UN floss off?
Oh, I hope so. That, and I have to do the American side of the skin tag collection day.
How was the floss off, by the way? How was it received by your daughters?
To be honest, they've been at their mothers this week a lot. They got sick of me. No, one had the flu. So all of a sudden it's, hey, you know, these little sicknesses. And I have to say, remember those parents who would always send kids to school just to get everybody else sick too? Mm-hmm. My mother was, if you're sick, stay home, get better. And I think I appreciate that now. Because we always were like that in my family, where the people who are like, oh, I'm powering through this cold or powering through this flu. I think like Sharms did, right? At when he got Craig sick, he was like, I don't think I can make it. He's taking the subway or the train all the way to my house from Pickering with full. He goes, I'm sweating. I go, I wonder why you're sweating.
I was sweating profusely.
You got the flu.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think communal disease is important to strengthen our immune systems. So I think it's our obligation to go to school, to go to work sick.
I'm with you, Sharms. I think if you get it, you bring everybody down with you.
Absolutely.
That was just your attitude, Jimmy, that sickness as well.
Yeah, we're all
together. And also a sickness.
All together.
Okay. Everything.
We're a team. We're all meeting up tomorrow in person for the Footy Prime Summit. My daughter's been sick as a dog for the last 4 days, just so you know.
No.
So I could be carrying some virus to you guys as well.
Excellent.
Well, I feel fine right now.
Hey, I'm surprised nobody's commented on JC's hair. It's beautiful.
You know what? I thought the same thing.
It's not often you see his hair.
Yeah, very handsome, baby Jay.
It's a lovely hairline.
Especially in Ricky Gervais' crotch. He looks stunning.
Yeah, we got a picture of Ricky Gervais or David Brent behind JC.
Yes.
Another bearded wonder.
Like Gervais's pubes.
Did you hear that?
Well, that
you
know, hair.
Keith from The Office. You know, Keith from The Office, he died. Ewan something or other. I love Keith from The Office. He was just
hilarious.
The
skinny dude?
No, he was a big fat guy who would eat scotch eggs and said the word minge really well. Actually, what? Isn't that odd? We haven't said the word minge, I don't think, ever in this podcast. The last two podcasts, we're saying it a lot. Yeah. He goes, the line? He goes, in America, they call it a fanny pack. Fanny. Here, we call that a minge. It's a great line in The Office. Yeah, but yeah, rest in peace, Keith, because you were bloody hilarious. Love this character. Quite the week for us. And we said we've got the Footy Prime Summit tomorrow, which we have great plans for. We really hope to
there's going to be an agenda sent
some progress,
soon?
An agenda. There'll be an agenda.
You know, and we're serious when there's an agenda.
But I think we should, so though, excited. Definitely just every now and again, we'll shoot some content tomorrow and we'll upload it. Could be stupid stuff, could be serious stuff, could be funny stuff. Who knows? But we'll just upload it to our socials, maybe on the website as well. All right. And we won't make you watch the whole summit, put it that way, like we suggested last week. That would be really boring.
Live streaming a scratch in our nuts. and other bodily. Well, most of us.
Not me.
All nine of those nuts for the 12, six of us. The other thing is we have to explain too. One of the strategies around what we're doing is we want to cover not only the banal, idiotic that we do on some of these shows, but honestly, I already listened to a couple of the MLS and the CF Montreal. And they're real footy conversations. So everyone strap up for Footy Prime doing football/soccer analysis too. They're very, 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 very strong in that
space. Who knew?
Yeah, who knew?
No, they'll be in our style, obviously, right? But I mean, we do understand that we like to clown around on the foundational shows. And that's important. That's what we kind of built. But we can be serious at times as well. And these new shows will be very much analytical based. And no, that's terrible. That's the one, right? Yeah. But yeah, so we've got some great guests. Analysis based, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. As long as anal involved somewhere.
So there will be none of that on the CF Montreal show.
We have some great guests. So great collaborations. John Molinaro of tfcrepublic.ca. Would you honest with TFC? I'm very happy about that. It's a great site, by the way. And this week, actually, JMO is it's free for anyone to take a look at tfcrepublic.ca. So take advantage of that. But it is a foundational episode today. I thought we should talk about the big news kind of breaking this morning is that Thomas Tuchel will be leaving Bayern Munich at season's end, if not before. Obviously, it's been a poor season by Bayern standards, Craig. But at the same time, this lame duck kind of situation in a poor team, what is the point in announcing this now for a team that's struggling? I see why Klopp did it. It was going to get out there, but the team's playing really well. It doesn't feel like a lame duck situation at Liverpool or even at Barcelona. Mm-hmm. But at Bayern Munich, with all the drama there right now, to announce this, what is the reason for announcing it?
They've done this before. It's not something new with Bayern Munich. They've announced new coaches. Well, when Pep moved there, they're well aware prior to the end of that season before that Pep was on his way there, and they won the treble, for God's sake. So they've done this before. It's nothing new with Bayern Munich.
Yeah, but have they got someone lined up to replace him? In that case, you knew Pep was coming in, Heinkes was leaving. But this time around, yeah. I'm not sure anyone's lined up. Does this change Jurgen Klopp's mind? For example, that's the big scuttlebutt right now. I think his agent's denying that he would change his mind. He wants to take some time off before getting back into football. But there is obviously a natural fit there for Klopp to go to Bayern Munich.
There is. You know, I kind of wonder, and I'd be a little bit cynical about it, when Klopp announced that has he got to a point with Liverpool that he thinks I'm performing miracles here with what I've got? They're not going to go out and spend millions. I could lose Salah. I could lose a few other players. Are we going to be able to bring and replace those to be able to compete with the high-powered, high-paying Chelsea's and Man City's, Man United's of the world? I'm not sure. I think that might be a factor for him and why he wanted to leave Liverpool.
Not so much the allure of Bayern Munich there in that case. So you don't think he can get his mind changed?
To go to Bayern Munich?
Yeah.
I think it would be an absolute perfect fit for him. I'm not sure whether he's ready to do that right away, but it would not surprise me in the least if he took that job. No. And by the way, Harry Kane turned them into Tottenham in about 6 months.
I feel so badly for Harry Kane.
They've won 11 titles in a row, and then they might not win the show.
I'll just say, like, kind of devil's advocate or a different perspective on Klopp, Forrest. Is I would see it, this season, like Liverpool 2.0, you know, losing Fabinho, Henderson, and then still cobbling together a side that's at the top of the table. I say cobbling together. He's still got a tremendous amount of talent to do that, but the rash of injuries that they've had, and then still sort of outperforming expectations, as it were. So to me, as Klopp or any other high-profile manager, that would serve to reinvigorate me if I'm putting myself in his shoes. So I think it's a real testament to, I think I believe him in that he's kind of at the end of his rope, that he's really, truly, in his words, just run out of energy. So I don't know if it's him seeing the writing on the wall, as you say, because you're competing against really big spenders and he sees it kind of inevitable that they're maybe not going to win as many trophies as he would like. And he just kind of bows out. I see it as him saying a self-assessment, like, I don't think I have the motivation to truly do this anymore.
How long will that motivation, well, how long will it take before that comes back?
Yeah.
A call from Bayern Munich, maybe.
There you go. We're right back to where we started.
I'm all refreshed all of a sudden.
I could see him doing similar to what Pep did. Do you remember when Pep took some time off, went to New York, lived there for a little bit, and just tried to get away from it all, and then went back into Bayern? But I think that Bayern job, to be honest, would be ready for him whenever he wanted to. If he wanted to take a year off, 2 years off, 6 months, he'll get that job if he wants it. And you know what Bayern's like. If Bayern wants a manager and they've got a target, they'll go after him and they'll wait for him and they will get him. But I know they've got Alonso, who they're looking at right now. So is Liverpool. So it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen with that this Bayern Munich club at the moment. And not to win a trophy. This could be the first time in 12 years that they haven't won a trophy as well.
And so it's arrogance.
They kind of stumbled their way into one last year, right? They shouldn't have won it. And they did.
No. Dortmund blew it in the last game of the season.
Yeah.
But what arrogance from a team like Bayern Munich, right? And that's just who they are. They won 11 straight, and this has been a bit of an off year. They're still going to finish in the Champions League spots. They could still win it, right? It's an off year.
Well, you're 8 points behind. There's 36 points to play for.
Yeah.
And already they're pulling the trigger, and who knows? I don't know. It's a funny club, Bayern. And then you got Man United as well that are opening up the door again on Harry Kane. Apparently,
Man United is
going to go back. Didn't see that. Really? Yeah. Well, if Bayern set for a rebuild, would Kane do 1 year and leave? I don't know about that. Why didn't United go for him last year, for crying out loud? Maybe they did. Maybe he didn't want to go there. Smart man, given what happened there. But yeah, I mean, with Bayern Munich now, Liverpool, Barcelona, all looking for managers next year. Who knows what happens at Manchester United? I mean, that's going to make an interesting summer in the managerial carousel. And Xabi Alonso kind of just sits there as the first domino to fall. Because if Klopp is taking that year off, which I agree, I think he probably is, Xabi Alonso is the man. And everyone wants him at this point, it seems. If he leaves Leverkusen, he's got a nice situation there, right? But I'm sure he will. Where's it going to be? He's played for both Bayern and Liverpool. He obviously knows German football extremely well, having currently coaching there and bossing it. Is that a natural fit to go to Bayern, or is that tough? From a personal standpoint, is it hard to say to the fans of Bayer Leverkusen, I'm leaving, I'm going to Bayern Munich? It's probably a lot easier for him to say, you know what, I'm going to Liverpool.
Yeah, it would be.
Do you think the current situation where Bayern seems quite fickle, they're sort of unsure of their identity or DNA as a club? They want to be a winning club, but you know, you mentioned carousel, but I mean, Nagelsmann leaves, he's a winning coach. They bring in Tuchel, and then now Tuchel's going to be gone. So as a manager on the outside looking in, do you want to be a part of that? I mean, I know you're disposable to begin with. It's the nature of the job, but it seems like you're under an even greater microscope if you're at Bayern.
It's called FC Hollywood for a reason, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't be taken. I'd rather go to Liverpool. Simply because of the fact of what you're just saying there. There's managers that won a treble and end up getting fired. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what you're going to do. You're still on the chopping block.
So, Ginny, are you withdrawing your name from the candidacy?
Yeah, there's not much longevity there, is there, in that club of your manager?
Well, sources say Jimmy Brennan is far and away one of the top choices. So, and the reason I say that is because I know we started a huge rumor about Thierry Henry in Canada circles, soccer circles. So, and it's getting
going
a lot
viral,
of play.
It's going nuts.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if Jimmy needs some promotion, we just start Jimmy Brennan. He's getting spoken about.
You know what? It's funny. If you haven't seen what we said about the Henri. It's on the website. We are fully prime right now on the front page. It was when Birdie Bassett, Albert Vatanian, joined us last Wednesday. So Jimmy wasn't here for that podcast. So we didn't get Jimmy's thoughts. So Jimmy, the rumblings are just that Henri wouldn't be adverse to being considered for the Canada job, right? He might have some interest there. That's what it is. We have no idea whether there's been a formal approach. I haven't heard that. But he wouldn't be necessarily turned off by the possibility. Would Thierry Henri be a fit for Canada?
I think with his his name would draw an awful lot of attention. I think a lot of people would be very, very interested in that, seeing Thierry Henri as a manager of Canada. He does have international experience, but as assistant coach with Belgium. But his club football, I don't think, was the best either, though, right? When he was at Monaco, he was only there for about a year. Then he went to Montreal. He did okay, not that great. Had some issues, ended up picking up and leaving. So I don't know football-wise if he's the right guy for the international job here, because I think this is such an important and vital time for Canada soccer that when we do bring a manager in, it's got to be the best manager available that's going to bring us success, simply because we've got the World Cup and we want to put a good show on, and we want to make sure that the pieces are in place for success. And it's not a time right now to get a manager that's not proven at international level for me.
How about Jurgen Klopp? Let's start a rumor. Jurgen Klopp. He's going to have a couple months off, and then he's going to take the Canada job in 26, and then he's going to go to Bayern Munich after that.
Yeah. And he could live in Kitchener, right? There's lots of Germans out there.
Yeah, and get really good beer again. Canada's a great beer country.
Great beer country.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why he'd say yes, isn't there?
No one would know who he is.
Sorry. The top reason so far is there's a great German contingent in Kitchener and good beer. He's coming.
I think you may have forgotten Alfonso Davies plays in Germany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And complete and utter anonymity in Canada. Right? Who is that guy? Oh, he's the guy who drinks beer at the Loblaws.
Yeah. And got great teeth.
Yeah.
No, you know, I mean, back to Henri. I mean, that'll be the Hollywood signing, right? And is it the right signing? I have no idea how it'll work out, but obviously we get a lot of eyeballs on Canada. I also heard that Bobby Simeoneotis is very much a serious candidate for this job still, and a number of players within Canada have actually campaigned on his behalf to Canada Soccer, saying he's the right guy. He has experience, don't forget, through Sigma with some important players, Tejan Buchanan, Kyle Larin. They know him really well. Very respected guy. So do you want the guy that's going to, that would be a long-term hire, right? A Bobby Simeoneotis, whereas Henri would be a short-term hire, you would think. But with a World Cup just around the corner, this glitz and glam, this biggest event in the world, do you want the Hollywood signing, or do you want the long-term planner? Let's be honest, for Canadian football, the long-term planner makes more sense, but I also see how you can be lured into the other side, Dubs.
Yeah, you want stability. You want somebody with credibility, somebody who has experience, somebody who's proven. But I don't think you just want the flash and the glitz, and then that will die out awfully quick. Sure, it might bring eyeballs and attention to Canada soccer, but it also brings attention to Canada soccer for all of its kind of warts and foibles, right? So I think you bring somebody in who is going to be maybe the first of a number of hirings to really create stability throughout the organization, not just with the men's team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think Bobby, I like his path. I like what he's done, where he's worked with the youth. He understands how important it is to get the youth and development right, and give the resources to make these young players successful to get to that next level and become professionals, play for your international team. But that's why I think it's important when you get a guy like Bobby in, it's not solely just going to be on the men's team. I think he'll overlook everything with the development the youth and making sure that the U15s, boys and girls, are right. The 17s are right. The 20s are right. The methodology behind it's all correct. Whereas I think if you had an Henri, he's going to focus on the men's team. That's it. And then it could be one of those where he's using this as a stepping stone. And he comes in here and maybe he's only here for a year, 2 years. And it's like, okay, I'm going on to my next project. Where I think if you got an individual like Bobby, I think he's here for the long haul in that position.
Yeah, you redefine the way the game is developed here in Canada. There's not even a TD right now, is there, at the national level?
No.
Since Jason DeVos left?
No.
Another big, big hole sitting there waiting to be filled by someone, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot, a lot of big holes.
It's a one big black hole.
Yeah, one big black hole. Everything's being sucked into it.
One big black hole ripe for analytics.
Well, yes.
Whoever it is. You beat me to it, Dubs. You beat me to it.
That's a terrible thing. I'm off to a poor start today. Beat Wonger to the punch.
It's like throwing a sausage down Yonge Street.
Sorry, Craig, you were saying.
Sorry, Forrest.
Sorry, I was just thinking of the sausage going down Yonge Street. A little dirty Yonge Street.
Yeah, it's a little bit filthy, yeah.
Yeah, dirty around the edges.
Mm-hmm. Big street. Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah.
But listen, if Mauro Biello and Canada like take care of Trinidad Tobago, right, which is more than possible, and then he takes him into Copa America, Mauro is still very much a legitimate candidate as well, right? So no one's dismissing that either, but it's going to be an interesting few months. But Thomas Tuchel's available apparently as well. So, hey, another name to throw in the hat there. Maybe he wants to get into international management.
The Tuchs.
The Tuchs. By the way, our whole Jota header chat was really enjoyable last podcast. It was brilliant, thoroughly enjoyable. Some people have agreed with us. It was amazing. Others side with Jimmy and say it was shit. But it got me thinking, like, what is the most underrated skill in football? What is something that we just take for granted that is actually a supreme piece of skill and shouldn't be taken for granted? Is there something, do you think?
Yes. And I think the skill to be running in full flight and someone ping a ball 50 yards and put it on your chest, or you control it with your thigh and still in full stride with a man on you or a woman on you and being able to control that ball. And it's funny because I was listening, somebody mentioned it as well, where, you know, a Tom Brady will grab the ball and he'll throw it and a guy will catch it and he'll be like, oh, wow, what a catch. Did you see that catch and how he threw it? But we do it with our feet and in stride controlling it without our hands. That technique, for me, is a brilliant technique in games where I'm just like, wow, what a touch, what control that is. But we kind of brush it aside because it happens so often. But it's a skill that takes plenty of time to really master.
And not everyone can do it, even at the top level.
Right.
No, right. They can't. I think just when you look at the top players in the world and their touch and their ability to ping the ball, people don't realize the pace the ball is traveling. At each other when they're passing it, and their touch is just exquisite. Like, you can't get the ball off them. I think that they make it look so easy, and it's not.
Yeah.
Cushion the feet.
Your example makes me think of Jimmy. Remember in qualification with the men, Canada's men, when Liam Fraser pings that ball?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Towards the halfway line to John David.
Yeah.
He takes it off his chest, heads it down, and then chips it over the goalkeeper.
Oh, that header was amazing.
In full flight as well.
Yeah.
Like sprinting.
Beautiful cushion header.
Mm-hmm.
That was a difficult one.
Yeah, no, it is. Because, I mean, we watch top flight football every week, you know, and we just take such things for granted. And until, you know, the average person gets out on the football pitch, you realize how difficult it is. When you guys are playing, like, charity matches or against, you know, average Joes, what surprises you the most about how shit the average person actually is? Is there something? Is it the way they run, the way they move? Is it the touch? Is it the accuracy of passes? Is it all of the above?
Yeah, it's just about all that.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't realize how good we are, and then we go out with a bunch of hammer throwers.
Yeah. Right? You must realize that, I would hope.
I think I had a charity with you, Sharms, didn't I?
Yeah, well, we played in a game, and also TFC had the tryouts in year one. Yeah. And I tried out I was mic'd up and got the cameras out there, and you belittled me, actually. You were very harsh on my performance. I remember you and Mo just freaking hammered me.
I would like more detail. Go.
I've got to find that. So I might be on one of my DVDs somewhere.
I remember that.
I didn't make the first cut.
Remember the Robin trials? Wasn't it? There was like a 64-year-old man that came out.
Oh, yeah. It was an open trial.
Yeah, full gear.
Yeah. And I think in the end, they did sign someone because they had to, right? Just it was a PR stunt, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, you never know. You can find, and they did sign some kid. I think he was from York or somewhere, university. And they signed him because they had to. And he came out. Didn't he try out with you guys, Jimmy? He trained a few sessions and it didn't go anywhere, right?
No, didn't go anywhere.
How many people tried out? There was like 300 or something.
Loads.
Just goes to show you, there's a lot of people out of that 300 actually thought they'd be good enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see these punces, right? You play indoor football or just rec league football. You see these punces who think they really are good. And when I play in those environments, I know that I'm shit. But I see these guys having had the chance to play against professionals in charity games. You realize what a different sport it is. And I wish these guys, these punces, could actually experience that because it's just a different sport entirely. You might think you're good and you're really great in third division at Centennial Park in Etobicoke. You're really good. But you wouldn't stand a fucking second against a real professional.
They're miles away. And I think part of it too is, just for me being home and kind of being away from it, you're so out of touch with professional football here. You're miles away. And I think that's why so many people think, oh yeah, my kid's going to make it, or, oh, I could have made it, or I could have played. No, you haven't. When you're over in Europe and you're in England, there's 92 clubs. You see these academy players training all the time. You see the, your local professional football clubs training. You see the standard. And so you get it and you understand it right away. Whereas here, people are so far away from the game. I mean, we support it. We watch it on TV, but that's all you're getting is watching it on TV. That's it.
And being good at Centennial Park in Ontario, don't think people in Milan or in London or in Paris give two shits how good you are in Toronto.
No, not at all.
And if you could, on that note,
it's time for a commercial break.
We'll be back after these messages.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
This is kids listening to this right now. I actually hope there aren't kids listening to this because I'm so sorry to their parents. But there's probably kids like just their dreams are slowly
but
being
you're not ever making a professional team.
No, but it's not wrecking their dreams. It's just being realistic.
No, it's wrecking their dreams.
It is very difficult. It's not an easy profession. And there's only a certain amount of people that have actually gone through it and understand what it takes to be a professional, how to get to that next level. And you're going to go over to England. And you're going to take an Englishman's job or an English woman now in the professional league, you've got to be better than what they have. You have to be better, which means you got to work twice as hard as what they're doing because they're over there right now, wherever they are in Europe, working their asses off. And you've got to be better as a Canadian going over there trying to take their job.
I think there's an awareness of what that level is because of the internet and how, you know, there aren't really borders anymore. Like you can see sort of into communities, cultures, academies, what that level might be. But because it's through a screen, I think there is that disconnect. And there's that disconnect whether you're playing in a garage league and you think falsely that you can, you know, have the same technique or the same, you can strike the ball the same way. You can beat a player 1v1 the same way because you've seen a player do it, but you can't do it at the same pace. No. You can't do it with the same level of execution. But there are people who just either don't want to understand, they don't want to accept the reality, or they really truly believe that. And unfortunately, some parents, I think, don't tell their kids what the realities are. You don't want to crush their dreams. You want, like, my kid's 14 and he still thinks he's going to make the NHL. Like, he's not. Right? Like, it's just such a small percentage.
Why don't you bring Jack on the show right now? Should we talk?
I mean, listen.
A little chat.
But like when I was that age, I wasn't aware that there was that path. There wasn't the opportunities, but I think I had it within me that I was going to work as hard as I could to achieve what was best for me, or like what I could surpass in terms of my own level. So I think that is what this current generation is lacking in terms of the parents living vicariously through their kids, thinking that you're elite. Remember that the video that you shared, Wonger, this guy talking about there's no such thing as an elite 8-year-old. There's no such thing as an elite 10 or 12-year-old. And it's true. Let your kids play. Give them the benefit of different sports, being exposed to different things, of moving their bodies in different ways, being challenged in different ways, and fucking suffering defeat and dealing with it, not being coddled. Mm-hmm. And then see where that takes them.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? And then and linking back to what you're saying, I think in Canada and North America, we're getting closer. The level of MLS isn't what it was when you came over, Jimmy.
No, it's a lot better.
It's a lot better. People are up close to that level. Mm-hmm. There's more, you know, soccer specific stadiums in the US, the infrastructure that's set up there in terms of like for smaller communities and smaller markets in the USL, both men and women, is really, really cool. I think that's what we're lacking in Canada a little bit. And we have our own challenges. We've talked about that. But I think more and more people are up close and they understand. But I still think that there's that disconnect between what they can achieve and what the reality actually is.
Well, yeah. There's also that level of chip on your shoulder. And Dubs, you have it. Jimmy had it. I don't know if Craig had it, but he might have it now. But there's that level where when Jimmy told the story about not making the 17 and under Ontario team, Jimmy, and yeah. Dubs, the NCAA scout, saying you'll never play that next level. And yeah. Even in my space playing CIS football, I knew I didn't ever have that level of I'm going to be the guy first and the guy at the end of the day that you two had. I'm going to be at the stadium working out. I'm going to be, it didn't drive me. I wanted to be, you know, on the float at the St. Patrick's Day parade, chugging a beer for 12 people, cheering me on, right? That's what I wanted to do. And I was a great ambassador.
You played high-level football in this country, like Canadian football, right? CAS, yeah. Like you said there. And you had teammates who went on to CFL.
CFL and buddies played NFL.
Oh, really? Okay. How big a jump was it from college football in Canada to CFL, say? NFL, I understand.
It was huge because there's only like, I just went to Montreal last in the fall because my buddy was he played 5 years with the BC Lions. And, but he was also, he was the best athlete out of the DBs, ran a 4.4, had a, you know, 40-inch vertical. Just an amazing athlete, Robin Bélanger out of Trois-Rivières. And these guys were ridiculous athletes. And I got there, I had a little pot belly. I'm like 145 pounds with a pot belly. And I'm like, how am I going to compete? So the chip on the shoulder got me to compete. But what are you laughing at?
The little pot belly.
But a little fat man.
Yeah.
Pug nose.
What a stupid fat man.
But there's this chip on the shoulder that when you're also an elite athlete. So I was a great athlete. I wasn't elite. I was, you know, top five out of Ottawa recruiting. Like you put it on a pedestal. But I was not compared to the number one guy. Even at that level, I knew. So what I was going to say, when you know what stands out, Charms, of people when you're playing rec, is how unathletic some people are. You think they're good. Yeah. Like, they're not athletes. You're fast. Like, you're faster backwards. You know, like, I could backpedal backwards because that was my, as a defensive back, you have to learn how to run backwards and be quick and all that. And there are people who can't keep up with you running backwards. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, this is going to be weird. Because there's that, when they all of a sudden have that realization that they're not on a team, and steroids, and it was a thing back in the 80s and 90s, there were guys who tried out, didn't make it, came back, and all of a sudden they're 240 with lats like this, trying out, and they still weren't good.
Did they have pot bellies?
No one had a little pot belly like me. It was like I let people rub the Buddha. They'd come up and rub it. And I was like, yeah. I think I told you, one of the all-stars that I played with said, Wonger, how do you play with that body? I'm like, I don't know. Just kind of.
Well, he plays with it a lot.
It's quite easy when you're hairless.
So basically what we're saying is, if there's any youngsters listening to this with aspirations to play professional sport, don't just give up. It's pointless.
About parents and like young kids, if they want it, they truly aspire to pro level or the highest level that they can reach. It has to be self-driven. It has to come from them, because there are so many kids so our kids are 14 and the twins are 9, surrounded by parents who think, like, when hockey ends, our kids play kind of this BS spring hockey league because it's fun, but there's no regulation. There's no governance. It's fucked, right? It's a money grab, and there's all kinds of shit that's going on. But then after that, so say it's like the end of May, then it's the summertime. My kids play soccer, they play lacrosse, they do other shit. And the hockey parents are like, what camps are your kids doing? What are they doing? How many individual on-ice skill sessions are they doing? And I'm like, they're not doing anything. And they're like, oh my God, they're going to be so far behind in end of August or September when they step on the ice. Yeah, they might be in for the first 2 weeks, and they're going to catch up. And then they're going to have the benefit of doing other things during the summer. And the mental benefit of that, even at 9 and 14, of doing something different, being surrounded by different people. So our kids do not go out and shoot pucks because we tell them you have to shoot 100 pucks a day. Or Evie and Campbell, here's some cones, practice your dribbling, or go out and practice your juggling, because by the time soccer starts in May, I want you to be able to do 50 keepy uppies or whatever it is. No, if they want to do it, they do it. And if they have questions for me and I can help them out with weight training or mobility or anything that I've gone through myself, great, I'm here for you. But it has to come from you.
100%. Yeah, well, most parents, they do it for themselves. Their parents, they're living vicariously through their kids, for their failed youth. It's pathetic. You see it so often, right? By the way, for kids, what age should kids start doing a weight training routine? It's so difficult because obviously they're growing, developing. You don't want to put too much, you know, duress on those joints. Is there an age when they should start?
When they should? No, I mean, they could start at, you know, 10 or 11. There's no, it used to be kind of that it was taboo or contraindicated that you couldn't lift weights because it would interfere with your growth. It's not true.
It's not true.
Make sure. Nope.
But you have to stretch. Like, one of the things, flexibility, balance, those all have to be, it all has to be a program. You can't just go, oh, go lift things, and because you're not going to get that flexibility as you grow. So it has to all work together.
Yeah, like you said, just a balanced approach, which is what we're, I think, really, really missing. Like, you know, there are kids who are 9 in Adam hockey who are out with groin injuries. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Because they're playing hockey 5 days a week.
5 days a week. Oh, it's insane. We have friends who kids are playing. They're at the rink 5, 6, 7 days a week in some cases. Yeah. It's not healthy.
Good way to get divorced, I think.
Yeah.
So if anyone, I'm just saying,
you know,
lots road games continue. I was going to ask Craig about this, though. What was the skill from judo, Craig, that you think transferred over to keeping, being a great keeper?
Was it the judo chop?
There's a chop.
There's no chop in judo.
No, that's the point. Judo chop. It's Austin Powers. Hence the joke. No,
I think it was the physicality and learning how to fall, learning how to, you know, that physical literacy, being able to grapple which was very common on corner kicks. Lots of bodies in there, but trying to maneuver your way around that, being used to that contact. I think it was a massive help. And then all the other sports play into the goalkeeper position, you know, whether it's basketball, whether it's hockey, whether it's lacrosse, all these multi-sports really do play a part. There's so many different elements in the position where you have to be a punter, you have to be a place kicker, you have to be a wide receiver, you have to be a quarterback, you have to be a cricket bowler, you have to get all these different skills that you have to come into play. And I think the multi-sport athletes suit the goalkeeper position more than not. When you look at guys like Friedel in the United States, same thing, multi-sports. Casey Keller, same thing, played in the Premier League. I think it suits it. That's why North American goalkeepers, I think they've developed more of them than anybody else.
Because of the multi-sports too. Yeah, that's a great point.
I wanted to just add, Forrest, you talking about corner kicks made me think of, Sharms, your original question about like a high-level skill that's underrated. And Jimmy, you went really high-end and kind of specific. But I'll say heading. And in talking to Emma Humphreys yesterday on the broadcast, she was talking about kids being developed to play a short game and they're highly technical, but they don't head the ball anymore. And I mean, a part of it is we want to prevent concussions and head injuries, but there's a way to do it where you're still instructing it properly. And it's a really important skill, like to be able to cushion the ball, to be able to direct a ball to the corner, a glancing header, a flick, power a header down. Like there's so much nuance to a header, and it's really important. And I think a highly underrated skill, even at the high level.
From a health standpoint, too, it's important, isn't it? I mean, you look at other sports, rugby, football, hockey, learning how to check, take a check, learning how to tackle properly as well. It's not just trying to clear a guy out.
No.
It's learning how to take it and give it properly. And, you know, that's how you prevent injury, right? Do you honestly, guys, Craig, let me ask you this. Do you think, I mean, is heading in football ever going to be out of the game entirely as we learn more about the brain?
I don't believe so, but never say never, but I don't think that there'll be a case of that. But we're seeing it with youth players. I'm staying away from heading for a certain period of time before they hit a certain age. I'm not sure what that is right now. And I think that's a good idea, but it is with dubs on that is a underrated skill, especially when you look at balls whipped in with incredible pace on corners and you're trying to throw your head in amongst other players, goalkeepers coming with their fists raised up. It's a pretty brave position to put yourself in.
Yeah.
Even Chloe Lacasse's goal. Did you see the one that she scored when there were 60 plus fans at the Emirates? It was a missed clearance and she's there. She's in like, she's opportunistic and she's in the right spot, kind of on the edge of the six. And she just gets her head in the way, but she braces herself and steals herself for the impact so that she's able to get in the way of it, but direct it into the goal. So again, she has to have the wherewithal and the skill to be able to do that. It's not just bouncing off of her.
Mm-hmm. Interesting conversation, this. It really is. Because like I said before, you know, one of the most sobering times in my life was seeing footage of myself running around a soccer field. It looked nothing like I thought it would look. It's like, who the fuck's that donkey? Oh, I thought I was quick. I did. I thought I was pretty quick. Nope.
Have a bit
silly
of a cry,
little
Charms.
Fat man.
It wasn't so much even the fatness. It was just the clunkiness of the run. You watch athletes glide. You guys glide across the field, right? Mm-hmm. I ain't gliding. I'm like a freaking, you know, 747 crash landing.
Yeah, you got deep sea diving boots on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it wasn't just me. It's like everyone out in the pit is like, wow, look at this. You see the odd little athlete, you know, running around. Doesn't mean they're a good footballer, but they can move around the field, right? But the average person, you know, 6 foot, 185, not that big, but just looks so clunky running, you know, like a robot, like CP3O after a rust treatment.
Fitness is also underrated.
I think it's usually, yes.
Don't realize how great point. Fit those guys are to be able to run.
And gals.
Hey. Guys can be both.
Just being a dick
nowadays. You've stolen the word guys from us as well. Come on.
And just being a dick. Especially Forrest.
Yeah.
He's quite sensitive.
You go out now and you run around for 5 minutes.
Being a dick, that's a sexist in itself. Mm. What can you be? You stop being a vag.
Or not. If we can call everyone anything, then you're not sexist at all.
Yeah.
It's right? True. You're not even thinking about it. Everyone's the same for you.
Yeah.
So there you go. I was going to throw in, I know we wanted to talk about CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup. I also want to talk about just right away, the guy that I've been thinking about because I saw reports of Belgrade was Richie Larea. And I wanted to ask how you navigate this in your brain, a position that he's Forest, he's Vancouver, he's now being linked to Belgrade. At that professional level, how difficult is it to navigate the off-field stuff for you three who went through it? I mean, I can't imagine having to worry about that. It must be difficult on Richie right now. Jimmy?
No, I think it is. It has to be. Unsettling, that's for sure. You know, you get a good move to a big club. You're at Forest. Then you end up going back on loan to the club that they bought you from. Then you end up going to another loan in Vancouver.
I forgot that. Yeah. He doubled it up over here.
And then you're back to England thinking, okay, maybe I've got a shot here. And now you're getting linked with another club. You know, it's as a player, it's not what you want. You want stability. You want to find a home. You want to be somewhere where you're wanted. And I think where Richie right now, he's just kind of in that limbo, I think, a little bit. And it's not good. It's not healthy being in that type of situation.
How much say do you have in a loan deal? Obviously, you have say on a transfer. You can say no because you've got to negotiate your personal terms. But on a loan deal, can you turn down a loan deal?
Well, yeah, you can. Of course you can. But then if they want you out and they want you on loan, you're not going to stay. What are you going to play reserve team football? So it's best to get out and at least play some first team football. And hopefully that puts you in a shop window and you can get a move somewhere.
I don't think Red Star Belgrade is a move that I would take if I was Richie, to be honest.
I wouldn't. Not at all.
No.
That's what Borjan used to be, right?
Yeah.
Borjan used to be at Red Star Belgrade.
It'd be an experience, that's for sure. I think in Rich's case, you just wait it out until the summer comes around and then you can get a move back to MLS with luck. It's a complicated contract situation with him at the moment. Be it loan or otherwise, right? Because, listen, Richie Larea, there'd be a number of clubs in MLS lining up to sign Richie Larea. He's proven he can be a top player
in
North America.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder, though.
At what cost? Otherwise, they'd all be interested in Richie Larea.
Yeah, it's true.
Just in terms of his mentality, and Wonger, you're talking about that chip on your shoulder kind of mentality that you need, that sort of pushes you, spurs you on. I know that there are players who make careers on as loan players or moving around, right? But it must eat away at your confidence, you know, where you feel like, I want to have that stability, as you were saying, Jimmy, which I think is so important, but you can't get it and you don't feel wanted by any club. Do you just have to, I guess you just have to not think of it that way? You sort of reframe your career and what is it?
You missed that, Dubs.
I did.
Forrest.
I was looking at Jimmy.
Forrest standing up. And
you didn't see Forrest just stand up in his boxers?
No, I wasn't even looking at him. I was looking at you and JC when I was talking. Maybe it's a good thing. Now I don't have to reframe for myself.
He fills him out very well. Sorry, Dubs, you were saying. God.
No, I was just saying it must be it must be difficult, sort of the you must have to have an incredible
chip gets so small.
Yeah. Dubs, you're right. I mean, it would eat at you. 100% it would. And the other thing what you gotta think about is your family. You know, Richie's married, he's got a kid and he's picking up and going here, picking up again, moving again, and then linked with somewhere else, and it'd be hard on his wife and his kids. That's for sure.
That's one thing that's underrated, I think, when you're talking about professional athletes, especially in football, and how many the movement there is for professionals in clubs. How difficult it is to just, you know, grab your family and move them to a brand new country, let alone a brand new city on a regular basis. That's not easy. I mean, I've got no problem with footballers and sportsmen and women making lots of money. No problem at all, because as much as it's a great, it's a privilege in many, many ways, it's also a grind, man. It's tough personally, really tough.
Yeah.
And anyone that just, you know, just judges and says, well, look how much money they make. It's different. It doesn't make a difference when you're telling your wife, Jesus. Thanks, Craig. Lunch kit right in the camera there. But we tell the wife, you know, or guess what? We're moving house again. We're going to a brand new league. I mean, that's not easy.
Well, yeah. It's something to wake up to, though, eh?
Isn't it?
A good chat, a good footy chat, and Craig and his boxers.
I love this job.
Dubs, presumably you got a lot to the W World Cup on broadcast yesterday. Did you get to Mia Fischl's injury? Oh, no? Okay.
No.
You think it's Mia Fischl broke just after you recorded, right?
Or like Jeez. I had a bunch of stuff, so I hadn't seen it.
Right, yeah. So she suffers a torn ACL. So she's out of the US team for W Gold Cup. Alex Morgan recalled. Mm-hmm. She's 34 now. I can't believe she's 34. How can Alex Morgan be 34?
I know. It's mental. And she scored a spot kick, scored a penalty yesterday, and that was her first goal in 363 days or something.
Wow.
Remember how poor she was during the World Cup? She could not score if her life depended on it.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good for her. But yeah, Mia Fischl, another ACL injury in a women's game, and that's Chelsea again, like hampered by injuries, especially in the front line, and that's the U.S. women's national team also suffering that loss.
You saw Emma Hayes talking about it, right? Talking about how we have to start looking at just the schedule, and all these injuries are happening like within 10 days of I forget what she was saying.
Like now. A window and a return.
Yeah.
Do you know what? There's a new product that's out right now that's coming out, and it's a cleat, and it's called Caddx cleats, right? And it's supposed to help with your knees and prevent ACLs and MCLs, because apparently the cleat on the bottom, it's not solid, and where you stick into the ground, it moves and it rotates. So as your body's moving, the cleat moves with you. Mm. So it's I saw it the other day on Instagram. I was reading into it. And I was like, "Oof, this could be a game changer."
And is it specifically for women's footballers, or is it just?
I think in footballers in general.
That's interesting. That's a really good first step, because a lot of the injuries that take place, especially for ACL, are those non-contact ones where the cleat does get stuck in the turf, whether it's artificial or grass, and that's when it happens. But a bigger issue is that women are wearing cleats that are designed for men, right? So, I mean, that's a fairly big claim to make, though, that our cleats will prevent ACL and MCL injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's called – so, Jimmy, can you spell it out for us?
It's Caddx, C-A-D-D-I-X, cleats. So okay. It's new.
And they're building the entire boot, or is it just the cleat base?
Just the cleat base.
Okay. That's interesting. So perhaps would a Nike or Adidas or a bigger brand look into this, I wonder, implement it on their boots?
Possibly.
Interesting. But it shows that there's an acknowledgement that is a massive problem.
Yes,
and people are looking at solutions, which, like you said, it's the first step, like that you said there, Dubs. It's something.
Because mm-hmm. I think I remember seeing something at the Women's World Cup where it was one of these big – brands, whether it was Nike or Adidas, had a women's specific boot. But then a lot of the women who had deals with these brands were still going with the men's boot. And that goes back to footballers and athletes, is you like what you like because it's brought you success, and you might have superstitions built in there or whatever it is. And remember Jimmy was showing us all of his boots like a couple months ago, and he's like, but I kept going back to these ones. I was the same.
Yeah.
Like I had a kit deal with Puma, but I preferred Adidas. So I found something that I liked eventually, but then once that deal was done, I went back to my favorite Adidas boots. So yeah, it's you have to convince the athletes, I think, to give it a try. And maybe that's the step, Sharms, is that you take that technology in the cleats, sort of in the sole of the boot, and then you put that onto like the existing shoe or the boot itself. And then maybe that's kind of the union that you need in order to change minds.
Was your Puma or an Adidas kit deal, were they the same seven-figure deals? Or did one pay more than the other?
Massive, massive deals.
No okay, money. Listen, let's call it a day, shall we? I want to get to, and we'll do this on Friday, the Martin Clattenburg joining Nottingham Forest as a referee analyst position. Mm. And, I'm being told to look at the where are we here?
We're introducing, before you go to the promo, sorry, Sharms, we're introducing something on our Twitter account. It's the Footy Prime Community Pick of the Week, brought to you by TonyBet. This week, it'll be Arsenal versus Newcastle. You let us know what team to bet on. You'll get a win, lose, win, draw, or win from each of the teams. And we're gonna bet on it and then give the winnings to charity. So at the end of this, it'll be, so the tagline I came up with was, you vote, we bet, charity wins. We're going to have to figure that charity out. But
was this discussed in the dark web? Because I have no recollection of this conversation.
Yeah, you said, oh, cool.
You put it on Slack.
Yeah, I put it in Slack last night. And I
did you? Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's a great idea. Can you please explain it to me again? Because I
okay, so you know how we do footy picks? We'll announce
we do what?
The results on footy picks.
Okay.
But as we do footy picks, it's our bet. It's the Footy Prime Supporters Club bet. But we want to give anyone who's not attached to us or Footy Prime supporters an opportunity to bet with this and raise money for charity. So we're going to put up on Wednesday night, Wednesday night, a link and a poll to give people a chance to vote. We'll vote. We'll put our $5 on the line, and then we'll build this opportunity up that we can raise money for charity.
And this will be through our socials.
This will be our socials only. Yeah.
And the Footy Prime Twitter feed, basically. And we'll put a poll up.
Footy Prime Twitter. Follow it. Footy _ Prime.
Okay. The charity's going to love that $85 we make for them.
Oh, no. Actually, they owe us.
We'll match it. We'll match it. Sorry, Sharms?
They'll owe us in the end, the charity. Sorry, Scleroderma Canada or whatever. You owe us $75.
That's right.
Blood services. Terrible initiative. You have to give us more money, some blood back, please.
Yeah.
We need to siphon blood.
Yeah, we need it for the website.
All right, so that's through TonyBet, though. So thank you for that. Champs League today, of course. Arsenal in action, and on Fubo TV, there's some Prem action too. Liverpool playing today against Luton in the Dubs Derby. Rob Edwards against Liverpool. So that should be a good one. Make sure you watch that and subscribe. And make sure you like us and you subscribe to us and all our various platforms. And leave reviews. Occasionally, we'll read them out, even the bad ones. And like we said, we are footyprime.com, our new website. Like I said, we'll be adding to it in the coming days. But yeah, jump on there. Have a look around. There should be some fun content coming up very, very soon. The blog.
Speaking of fun content, James.
Yeah. Oh, we've got something else.
You'll be able to find things. Our favorite segment on Footy Prime.
One of the best bits of fun you'll ever have in a night. Trust me, just do it. Just look for Looky Like It. Brilliant. Brilliant fun. Love Looky Like It. Looky Like It's over there, left. No, but the little kind of subliminal ones are the best balls. The best Looky Like It ever. Just look for Looky Like It.
Oh, that's a great one.
So what we're looking at, everyone, is a young, taut, beautifully maned Gregory Forrest back in Ipswich next to a fairly out of shape and but lumbering
man's ear requiring
Will Ferrell on pitch at where is that? Is that Chelsea?
It's a charity game. Yeah, maybe at Stamford Bridge.
Both Umbro jerseys.
Ooh, yeah,
that's right.
That's but look great, at though.
Very similar locks.
Yeah,
right. Just kind of dashing like Craig Forrest.
Similar heights, also
same thumbs.
That's right.
They are kind of odd, aren't they?
That's true. Did you guys do weird shit with your hands? Like when you were trapping the ball or controlling the ball or juggling?
Yeah.
Jimmy and Forrest?
I used to, mine would be tucked in.
Yeah. I used to turn my right hand, like my palm would go forward like that. It's very strange. One of these neural connections when you're trying to focus on something.
Mm-hmm. Who do you find funnier, Craig Forrest or Will Ferrell? I find Craig funnier.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. But Forrest wins.
Bigger fan of Craig Forrest, though. That is for sure. Yeah. That was great. That's the kind of thing we'll cut out and put on the new website. We are footyprime.com. Love it. Thanks. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. We're back on Friday. But don't forget, actually, we're back today again and again and again with our MLS podcasts. Three Qs, three questions for TFC and for Vancouver and for Montreal. And we have a MLS box-to-box podcast dropping today as well. They're shorter podcasts.
Molasses dropped already. It's ready to go. The rest shall be coming momentarily throughout the day. By day's end, we should have them all up and ready to rock. So get some popcorn or some meth, because it's going to be a big one.
On that note, this has been Footy Prime. Till next time, cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bennett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig.
Car handle goofy.
Well done, everyone. That was...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.